And welcome back to Mass Monologues. Today I have a special guest with me, Courtney, and I'm so excited to hear about her music, her songwriting, and I hear that she's also a comedian. And usually I don't start my podcast episodes off like this, but I was scrolling through your Instagram feed and I just wanted to ask if you could be a mobile app, what app would you be?
Oh my God, I'm like, these job interview questions are really throwing me for a loop here. I would be the virus that ends your phone being able to operate, is what I decided after the call. I thought that was funny. On the call, I said I'd be the American Express app, which I didn't know. I guess I don't know. I'm hopefully going to be rich one day. I don't know if I want to be the American Express app, but
Yeah.
okay. I would have been Pinterest. I'm like, that was a good one. That was a better answer than the American Express app, but.
Yes. Can you tell us about your songwriting, how you got into music, and how long you've been doing this for?
Yeah, so I'm an only child and I grew up like in the middle of the forest with no one else around. So I just had to entertain myself. I was always addicted to the radio, the top 40. My mom was really into Motown and Whitney Houston. So I had those all around me. And I've always just been, I'm not very emotive in real life. I am more so like through songs. Like I'd always build playlists to show how I was feeling. And so I had a tiny little play school cassette thing with a microphone that was like not, you couldn't even really hear what I was doing, but I would sing into that. Then I got upgraded to a karaoke machine, which I thought was literally the coolest thing in the world. And then I just would sing in my room to the radio and I would write. I've always been a writer, not even with just music, just I would write stories, etc. I went to college and thought I needed to do the whole get a professional job type of thing. And then I was like, I hate this. I don't want to do this. So in college, I got a vocal coach because I always thought I had the singing chops in me, but I always was like yelly singing and lowing my voice out. So I got a vocal coach and then I just started like floating around. I'm from Oregon and I was in Portland, floating around the music scene. I got hooked up with a producer and yeah, wrote my first EP. And yeah, I think I write basically all from personal experience. I haven't gotten it, or I find it very, I don't know, I find it impressive when people can just write a really cool emotive song and they have nothing to do with the
No
emotion
personal
they're carrying.
experience.
Yeah, I have to be really upset to write an upset song and I have whatever. My emotions are pretty much angry or sexy vibes. So those are like the two emotions I tap into the most. So yeah, where I have to write from personal experience in some sort of way. I'm big on lyrics, probably because I grew up writing core stuff. So my lyrics are very important. I would work with producers and they'd be like, how about you say like something about a brand name car. And I was like, I don't own a Porsche. I don't want to talk about a Porsche. I'm not going to say that. So I'm big on like very specific words. And then I just am really drawn to, obviously everybody's drawn to like the beats that are, they think are best appropriated. I think we're all probably a little bit psychotic. I have to have the exact perfect flow. So that's also why I don't have a ton of music out because I have perfectionism. So we're working on that. I'm trying to get more.
No, you say perfectionism, and that's so difficult for creatives because you hear your tracks, you listen back to them, and you always think it's not good enough. I need to change this one thing, or I need to go back. I have to fix my vocal technique here. I
Oh my
don't like it here. Or maybe it's the beat. And how do you combat that with your art and your music? Do you have a music producer with you who tells, you know what, it's good, it's fine, it's great, or
I've worked with producers. I have one that I worked with in Portland and we were like a team, but I have a strong personality, so I think I won't let things like you can tell me it's fine and I'll be like, I don't care.
I'm
Like
not
we're gonna
gonna
do
let this
it
go.
my way. We're gonna do it my way until I'm happy with it. So even though people were like, it's fine, Court, it's good, I was like, no. And basically I'm strong-headed enough that they don't try and just tell me it's good. So I railroaded that when I even had people like telling me it was fine. So it's a blessing and a curse, my strong-headed personality.
And you talk about your artist profile as being similar to Wednesday Addams. Can you tell me about that inspiration and how you drew or why you chose that?
Yeah, it's probably not coming across now because I'm speaking and like I'm emotive, but if I'm just like walking around the world, I'm pretty like stoic and quiet. A lot of like inner dialogue in my head, but I won't really show anything on my face. I pretty much only wear black. I have color on today to look alive for the camera. And when I watched the Wednesday show with Jenna Ortega, I was like, now I understand when people say they hadn't seen a character that portrayed them before, like usually like African American gals or other minorities. And I was like, oh my God, I've never seen somebody that I feel connected to, because she was just so yeah, I'm very stoic, I'm very blunt, unemotional, and so that is where I get that trajectory from.
No, I find that isn't too uncommon for creatives. They'll always say that on camera or in their music, they're this huge personality. Then you meet them in person and it's just, they're like normal or they don't say much. It's very limited what they do say to others. And you're like, you're this whole different person.
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah, I'm like, if when I get on stage, get me up 4 inches on a stage and I'm a totally different person than when I'm back on the ground.
And how do you navigate that with your art? Because if you're writing, do you have to feel as though you are that artist that you're writing your music through? Like you have to wear those inch heels, or you have to be on a platform, you have to be that personality to write your music, or do you find that you can do it in everyday life?
That's a good question. I have a hard time writing music. I have a hard time getting from zero to one, is what I refer to it as. And I think it's because I have that big stage presence in my head. I always think, how is this going to look and sound live? For me, I think my live performance is probably my bread and butter, whereas, I don't know, some other people are that they just can record songs overnight or whatever. So I'm always thinking of like the visual aspect and how it will sound in real life. And I'm very nuts about proving to people I can actually sing. That's like a weird thing of mine. I'm like, no, I need them to know that I can really sing. So that was, I'm getting over that now. But back when I first started, I wanted these crazy belty parts, runs and loud and dramatic. And again, the producers, people want to be able to sing along, so maybe don't make it so
Do
complicated.
that.
That's my like self-conscious thing, is I'm always wanting to prove to people that I can sing. I don't know if anyone ever has thought, no, she can't sing, I don't know what she's doing. It's like this weird battle inside my head. But when I'm writing, since I'm such a writer at the core, I really do just word vomit. But then it's like I overthink the putting it together portion, where here's the raw material, and how do I make it this other thing? And that's where I get a little stuck in the weeds.
And when you write your stop songs, does it usually start out with just lyrics, or do you start with a melody? How do you go about that?
Always start with lyrics. I have 5 million notes in my phone that have a header of lyrics, and then I am like writing in them. And I always want to tell about four stories in one song. So it's always this exercise of extracting information and just having, because really songs are about like the simplest thing. And I'm trying to tell a Harry Potter chapter book in a 3 minute song. So yeah, it pretty much always starts with lyrics. And I think that's also why I get stuck so much, because I don't have lyrics are great, but like I have to be able to put them,
To a
weave them into
melody.
something. And the melody part, I always get stuck on.
And when you write your songs, do you usually start at the chorus or do you start with a verse? Does it change each time?
I feel like, so in my head, I always want to write it from start to finish in that order. And I think that weird tendency to want to do it in this certain way blocks me. So I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna write a song, like verse one. And then usually like verse is actually better for the chorus, because I'm writing the kind of the core idea of that verse. So I try and remember or remind myself that like movies aren't shot, they don't
From
do it like
beginning to end.
this. So I'm trying to get into that mindset of I make the rules, I can do it however I want. But yeah, I usually start with here's the first line of verse one, and we're gonna go from here. Of course, usually once I get somebody else to come in and help me, they like rearrange it, and then I move on with my life.
No, with everything else that you do in the world, whether you're at a profession or you're in school, you're always told to do it from beginning to end. And then when you do start doing something creative, you realize, wait, there are no rules. Like, I
God, yeah.
can do anything I want. I can start wherever. And it just seems overwhelming at first until you get into the process and you realize, I don't have to start at the verse. I can start at the chorus. I don't have to put this line here. I can do it however I want to
I
do
need. I don't have any tattoos, but if I got one, I would need to be like, there are no rules. I forget that all the time, that I can literally do whatever I want.
it. Yes. Can you tell me how you got into comedy? Because this is a little branch away from music in your songwriting. So you're a writer. You started out as a writer and then you did vocal lessons. Then how did you tie comedy into this?
Yeah, I have a self-deprecating sense of humor, so that's my crutch. If somebody gets like hurt in front of me, I'm like trying to like tell a joke in the middle of it to lighten the mood, which usually backfires. So like throughout just like my personal life, I use comedy as my coping mechanism, and I realized I get a high from whenever I can make somebody laugh.
Yes.
And so again, I always thought I have to choose one. I have to choose one, and that's the end of it, and that's the way it goes. And when I moved to LA about 2.5 years ago, I was like, I wonder if I could just like go to an open mic for stand up. But and then I would tell people, and they're like, oh, do you do funny like comedy singing? And I'm like, my singing is like Beyonce, and then Lisa over here, like they're
Except
new entities. So one day people would tell me I'm funny, and I'm like, thank you so much. And then I'm very big into storytelling as my. And I guess everybody does that for stand up, but I'm like, I word vomit on the internet. So I just was like, okay, I'm gonna go to an open mic. So I went to an open mic, and you know how people say, even if you don't make money from it, just say you do it. So I just started saying, I'm a singer and a comedian, and now I'm a singer and a comedian.
No, it's funny how you say that those are separate entities when they are like essentially like your singing is not going to tie into your comedy, but you can draw from storytelling aspects that you use in your songwriting and then apply that to your comedy. Because when it comes to music and writing lyrics, writing songs, it's all about storytelling. And it seems as though in comedy, it's something similar.
Yes, yeah, it's all about storytelling. And I think some of the stuff I talk about in comedy, I wouldn't really feel compelled to write a song about, at least
Yes.
at this point in
It
my life.
has different content.
Not calling to me, so I can get both of those off my chest in different capacities.
And do you do any comedy on your social media platforms
My
or?
TikTok is where I like mouth off, and that's where I tell a lot of my like dating disasters, which I, of course, and then I talk about my dad has MS, so he's like disabled, and he's always coming up with, I'm like, you can't even write this, like, this is real life. I just need. So I'll talk about, yeah, usually those, my TikTok is usually where I put all my like comedy stuff. I feel safer on TikTok because it's like strangers, whereas like my Instagram. So yeah, that's where I put all of that stuff.
Yes, I've noticed with creatives, TikTok seems to be a platform where you can do anything you want and you're not worried about who knows you or who doesn't know you. But then you switch to Instagram and you're like, people know me here. I can't do
Oh my
this.
God. I don't feel stupid because I'll ask something on Instagram and nobody will answer me. I'm like, you guys know me. Nobody will answer my question. So I've gone to TikTok for more, goosey stuff.
And now, can you tell me about what genres you like to write in and how you got into those genres or if you experiment with other genres?
Yeah, so I say when people ask me what genre I am, I say pop rock soul, which obviously is three slashes. I can't just choose one. But I think the base of everything I do has like a pop core because I grew up on top 40 pop and I love that addictive melody. And then, of course, my mom listened to the oldies, the people that belted and like the soul. So that's where I get the emotive outlet that I like to incorporate. And then for rock, I just like the edgy grittiness of it. And also, I think my fashion gravitates more towards more rock and roll. So those are the three. I used to be super anti-country because I'm from the country and wanted no roots.
Nothing to do with it. You're like, I'm done.
And now I'm
I'm
kind of like, oh, I should.
done.
I feel like I'm similar to Beyonce in just the way that I want to genre bend all the time. She just does whatever she wants, and that's how I want to do it, because I listen to like 70s disco, and then I listen to like Patsy Cline. I think the strand that keeps everything together is I'm more gravitated towards women artists, just because I think their lyrics speak more. So yeah, throughout genres, it's pretty much just like the strong female enterprise.
No, you say how you draw off of Beyoncé. Do you do that as well with your vocal technique because you like to incorporate like the runs or the riffs or just have vocal acrobatics?
Yeah, so I always say I'm like a parrot. So if I can hear it, I can usually,
Replicate
it's
it?
not the first time I try, but I can usually replicate it. So sometimes in the booth, I would have to have it on like they would find do like auto tune on my vocal so I could do the run correctly. And then
Yes.
once I heard the right notes, I could redo it. So yes, I'm very I try and replicate like Beyonce's like growl. I can do a growl and I try and listen to her growls. Etta James like big beltiness, Aretha Franklin. If I could get 1% of Whitney Houston's high note
Yes.
that she could hold for 5 minutes. But yes, I try. I am like a little bit of a parrot, and if I hear something, I can try and replicate it in my own way.
Yes, and you say you started off as a lyricist first. So how long did it take you to develop like this vocal technique, the vocal training to be able to do those runs and those riffs?
Yeah, like I said, I knew I had it in me, but I knew I was not doing it correctly. And I felt uncomfortable being loud. So I would always try
Just
to
try
be
and be
quiet, or like,
quiet.
yeah, I try and be quiet and then you're not doing it correctly. Or I try and be like funny. I'm off
Yes.
key on purpose and I'm like, this is stupid. And the vocal coach just really like coached me
You
through how to
be
correctly,
confident.
yes, how to correctly do it, not be afraid of being loud because it sounds better when you're doing it correctly. And I always try, and I would do like theater camp when I was little. And I remember, or whenever you go and watch somebody and you can tell that they're not committing, and it's,
Yes.
and I'm, so I'm like, I have way more respect for people that just commit to it until it's a
Yes.
little bit higher caliber. So whenever I start to feel weird and icky and uncomfortable, I'm like, you have to commit to the bit or else it's gonna look insane and sound horrible.
Yes. And do you use any tactics to convince yourself to commit to it? Because I know sometimes with public speakers, they think it's not about me, it's not about me, it's about the audience, it's about the work. Do you use anything similar?
Since I'm like, it's all about me, because if I fuck it up, all these people that left their house to come see are gonna be like, cool, I just wasted an hour and X amount of dollars coming into this show. So I think about it, it's like me in that sense where it's my job to deliver a performance that's worth
Yes.
leaving the house. I would get really nervous probably until the last 2 years. I'd get on stage, I'd be shaking. I could you couldn't tell as much like when I listen back, but in my body, I could feel it wasn't like
Coming.
solidified. And so I think that was just partly reps, and I wouldn't want to get on stage unless I had this grand show with a backing band at this cool venue. And that's not really how it works. Like, you just got to go do
Yes.
reps forever. I had to get over that idea that everything had to be Madison Square Garden, or else it wasn't, I shouldn't do it. Again, it was reps. And then I just got to this point where I was like, I prepare, I run stuff. All like my Spotify playlist is basically when they do the end of year wrap, it's me just with all my sets because I just listen to them over and over. So I'm like, you prepare, you practice, you know how to do it. So go prove to everybody that you know what you're doing. The last show I did was on Halloween, and I just remember telling myself, leave it all on the stage, go fuck it up in a good way, and just prove to people that you know what you're doing. Because I, in my head, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I know how to do this. And then I feel stupid when I get on stage and don't deliver. So yeah, it's just like a mental thing of prove it. Go prove it to people that you know how to do it.
And do you get any anxiety before you go on stage? And is there anything you do to combat that anxiety and tell yourself it's okay, it'll be fine, and it's gonna work out?
Yes. Like I said, pretty much for the first 6 years of performing, I was having major anxiety before and during the performance. But it took me about halfway through to even calm down. And then, of course, I'm almost done. So now I'm pretty stoic until about 3 minutes before it's time to go on stage. And then I'm like, fuck. And again, I just do the mental of you've prepared, you've practiced the songs frontwards, backwards, the choreography, you've ran the notes, and try and remind myself that I've done everything I can do to prepare. And then just at the end of the day, I'm supposed to be enjoying that and I'm supposed to be giving people a good time. So if I'm like rigid and like having a nervous
Yes.
breakdown.
Then the audience is going to feel that. Now, with the creatives, I believe they always have this vision in their mind. And they're so hard on themselves when they can't meet that vision and when things don't align. You have to realize it's life. Nothing's perfect. Nothing's going to work out exactly how you want it to work out. And there's points where you have to improvise. Have there been points in maybe your singing or your comedy where you had to switch out a couple of lines? Or I know with one of my friends, she forgot her lyrics to the song midway through. She was singing the song and she just started blurting out like blah blah bleem blah blah until she remembered the lyrics. She said it was the most embarrassing thing, but apparently nobody noticed.
That's the thing I've noticed is nobody notices. Nobody really notices if I like slightly miss a note. Luckily, I'm not big enough. Nobody knows my songs, so they're like, "Sure, that's how it's supposed to go." So yeah, I've messed up a ton of times. I had one show where the sound was horrific and I don't think people could hear me the entire time, and I usually just go through, and I was like talking to the sound guy in the microphone, and I was like, "You have to pick like I'm on stage, like the song is going. I'm like, you have to fix it." And my bandmate knows that I don't really say anything in his face because we're taping it. He was like, so proud. Yeah. And I also love to overcomplicate things. Like, I'll have costume changes, a live band, I'll have visuals behind me. And that's all really cool. I know, I realized like I don't need to make everything this giant production. And I would have pre-produced tracks that were all one thing. So basically, when I hit play, we're off to the races and it doesn't stop till the end of the show. And that was psychotic because if something went wrong, the music is still going. So I've just tried to still keep that the vision I want, but also make it a little bit easier on myself so that I'm not doing theatrics while also just trying to put on a decent show.
And you've been doing this for a long time now, it seems. Do you have any advice for anybody just starting out? What would you say to your past self?
Oh my God, I could write a book to my past self. I would say stop trying to find people to help you and just start doing it all by yourself. I thought I needed to have all this original music. Just find a beat off YouTube. I would get in this woe is me mindset because I didn't have a team. I didn't have a friend that was willing to help me. I really just have myself. And pretty much until this year, I was very like, poor me, woe is me. No wonder I'm not world famous yet. I have nobody to help me. And now I'm like, how cool that I can literally do it all myself. And I can just, I don't have to get okay from anyone. I don't have to wait for somebody to come film me. Is it a little bit difficult? Yeah. Would I sometimes love to have like a friend who was a producer who could do everything? Yes, but that's not the reality. And so I think I've wasted a lot of time having a pity party for myself when I really have just been using the time to do what I can and that's in my power. So I would just say, just start. I would say, I know everybody tells us this, but really do release stuff. Still trying to get in that mindset myself. And I would say, invest in, I don't have any regrets about how many years I took vocal lessons because it really empowered me to, yeah, I can sing. That's not a problem. So yeah, I would say stop trying to feel bad for yourself because you don't have help and just be flip it and be more empowered that, oh my God, I can do this all.
No, you see the major artists, Ed Sheeran, Taylor Swift, whoever's on the top 10 Billboard list, and you think, oh, they've got, entire team with them. They've got this person, that person, this person. But most of them started out just by themselves. And then from there, they were able to gain the skills and then collaborate with others. But it's also a whole new world today. And I have mixed feelings about this because you have social media and you think, oh, you can reach out to this person, that person. But it's so funny how isolated you can be on social media because you can try reaching out to people, but nobody responds, or you just feel alone. And how did you go about, I guess, finding people as you were developing your musical career?
How I found like my bandmates in Portland is I responded to an ad to be in like a music video as like a music video girly, and then they didn't even end up needing me, but we somehow kept in touch, and then I realized those guys were a band, and I was like, do you want to back me up? So it's those weird like putting yourself in situations and like seeing what comes of it. Now I'm of the mindset I won't really reach out unless I feel like it's that thing where they're like, you don't want to be signed unless somebody comes to you to ask because that you have the leverage. And so I'm the mindset, unless somebody asks me to do something, I'm probably not ready to be doing whatever I'm. You know, of course, I have to pitch for shows. I have to pitch for festivals. I have to pitch for press coverage. But I guess asking for collabs and stuff, I won't do because I just feel like the right moment will align when I have my ducks in a row. And I feel like, yeah, if everybody wants your numbers to be huge, everybody wants you to have tons of streaming, and I'm not delusional enough. I don't have those numbers. So I'm just like, I'll just get the numbers and then we can go from there. Instead of, I used to want to be up here, like skip 500 steps because in my mind I'm ready to be at Madison Square Garden. The rest of the stuff hasn't aligned yet. Now I'm just doing what I can do, controlling what I can control, putting out whatever artistic endeavors I do. And if people see it and are cool with it, great.
Okay, so on that note, I'd like to wrap up this podcast episode. If there is any social media platforms, any websites that people can reach you at, stream your songs, listen to your comedy, we'd love to hear them.
Okay, so I'm on Instagram. It's No Courtney No, KNOWCOURTNEYNOE. Same thing for TikTok, same name. And then I'm on anywhere you can stream music. It's Courtney No, NOE. And then I'm on YouTube where I do like my Halloween costumes and random vlogs. And that's just YouTube Courtney No. So basically, it's either No Courtney No or just Courtney No. And you can probably find me on any place on the internet.
Okay. Thank you so much for being on this podcast episode. And thank you for the listeners for listening. If you do like this podcast and you want more episodes, please do share it with a friend or a family member. And we hope to see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Baby.